good morning, a Tuesday morning with our political observer, Alan Chartalk. Some sad news to bring to our listeners this morning. Extraordinary man, Arthur Brooks, has died just short of his 102nd birthday.
Can you imagine? 102 years old. This is a wonderful man, I'll tell you. He landed on the beaches at Normandy. He was there fighting Hitler for 4 years. He had a mind like a razor, and he was always smiling and always wonderful. You know, you talked to this guy, and you didn't have the feeling you were talking to somebody over 100 years old. He was as sharp as a tack, good friend of people that we knew, and we, of course, knew him because Roselle was raised in Hudson. He and his wife, Judy, were scions. They were incredibly important people in Hudson, always were. And it's just an extraordinary life, and we're all very sad that this has happened. A very good friend, Carmi Rapport, he's on our board, our executive committee, and very close, and just had tremendous feelings for the Brookses. So we're sad this morning.
To the family, friends, our hearts go out.
Yep.
Let's turn to Brexit, do or die. Johnson, who promised this decision, suddenly flailing. You predicted that it might not be so easy once Boris took over.
Well, Boris is in trouble. This is as close to an unsolvable problem as could be. We know an awful lot about this. Clearly, when Franklin Roosevelt was president of the United States, one of his objectives in the Second World War, as he worked things out with Stalin and everything else, was to deprive the British of the colonies, the colonial way of life that they had had for years. That happened then. But all these chickens are coming home to roost now, because there are people in Great Britain who think to this day that it should be the way that it used to be. Well, you know what? It's never going to be the way it used to be. And the British, the closest friends that the Americans have had for years, are really betwixt and between. They don't know what to do. There are many people who think that if you stay in the European Union, you give up all that you once had, a single entity that can call the shots. And then there are those who are saying, hey, this is the new world. We have to do that. And it's very, very close. If there's a re-vote on Brexit, my bet is it's going to be against getting out, because there is no other real way. But Johnson is going forward. He's saying we have to get out, but the Parliament isn't going to let him do that. So it's a tough time for them.
Alan, you often say that when, for example, we learn about Russia hacking the U.S. elections or spy activity among other countries against the U.S., that the U.S. is probably doing the same thing. Here's a story from the Times this morning. CIA informant extracted from Russia had sent secrets to the U.S. for decades. American intelligence officials had previously tried to get the source out of Russia in 2016, but the informant had initially refused. A CIA source with access to President Vladimir Putin was removed from Russia in 2017.
Yeah, so what? The question to me has always been whether Trump has specific relationships with Putin himself. Otherwise, I find it very hard to understand why Trump goes out of his way on every occasion to talk about how great Putin is and how great Russia is, even though they hacked our elections, they got him elected, they have interfered with our democracy. You know what goes on in Ukraine, and Putin is creating a basic dictatorship there. He's becoming president for life. This is not a man to admire, that's for sure.
President Trump in North Carolina trying to prove his political clout, says the AP, by pushing a Republican to victory in a special election there. We talked a bit about this yesterday. He used the rally yesterday, Alan, to paint a bleak picture of a nation he claimed would be overrun with crime, poverty, and immigrants if Democrats seize power in Washington.
Well, that's who he is. He's a guy who lies. He lies all the time. We count the lies. They go into the thousands of lies. This is one more thing today. He's saying that we can't let people in from the devastated Bahamas. Why? Because they're terrible, terrible people who are crooks. And we've got to do something about that. That's who this guy is.
Interesting story in the Washington Post this morning. For the first time ever, most new working age hires in the U.S. are people of color. Minority women are surging into the U.S. workforce. According to an analysis by the Post of Labor Department data, that has pushed the workforce across a historic threshold, but it comes as the economy starts to weaken, threatening the gains.
Well, right now, we all know that people are looking like crazy for people to work. We have so-called full employment, and that has left a huge need for employees. Those last hired are getting hired right now. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. whether or not we can maintain that and whether or not we can have some kind of equality in our hiring practices, that's anyone's guess. But if we can, out of this comes a very healthy idea that everybody should be hired and everybody should be allowed to work.
As we sit here on the eve of September 11th, we see that the president has pronounced a Taliban agreement dead and peace talks over. The president also was defending his decision to secretly host members of the Taliban at Camp David just days before this historic September 11th date.
If there is one thing that we know about this president is that when it comes to international relations and his prowess there, he stinks. The American people live in a democratic republic. If you are going to hold secret talks and not tell us about them, and then at the last minute try to take credit for having called off what you put on in the first place, it's extraordinary. His lack of success with Kim Jong-un and his inability to make any progress there or with the Taliban, who are a bunch of vicious people who will deny women their true and absolute rights in Afghanistan when he takes over. They are thugs of the first order. And now he says he's going to withdraw his troops, our troops, from Afghanistan. Nevertheless, how he's going to do that and what his methodology is going to be is very unclear and very dubious.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us as always. We thank you.
And as always, David, thank you for being here. So appreciate it.
You too.